beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Out of the miry bog,
and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear, and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust,
who does not turn to pride, to those who go astray after a lie.
You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you.
I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told.
Thank you.
Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from the first book of Samuel, the third chapter. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lie down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the door of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down,
and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue,
behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
You hem me in behind and before,
and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit?
Or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning
and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me,
and your right hand shall hold me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the 6th chapter. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 1st chapter. Next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His power before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again in glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
From our Gospel reading, Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We've found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus said to Nathanael, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is our text. For Nathanael, whose other name is Bartholomew, it all started with a friend. And I don't mean a Facebook friend. It was a real face-to-face friend who was his bridge to Jesus. Another flesh and blood human being. That friend's name was Philip, and it's possible that Philip himself had first been introduced to Jesus by Peter. They were both from Bethsaida. And Peter began following Jesus because of what his brother Andrew had told him, and Andrew heard it from John the Baptist. And that's how it happens. Yes, one person telling another. Friend witnessing to friend. Brother inviting brother to meet the Messiah. Building bridges between people and Jesus. Now, evangelism isn't always quite as successful as I've made that sound, but it is always that simple. There's a home mission all around us, literally in our homes, or next door, or in the nearest cubicle. And this is where hope lies, in real individual relationships. Jesus didn't need Facebook to get his message out, or Twitter, or Google, or Parlor, or telephones, or telegrams, or smoke signals. He used people. Faces as unique and as beautiful as yours and mine. He used real human relationships. He used people opening their mouths to speak his name. And you've still got your mouth, right? And we use our mouths for all sorts of things. Some of them good, some of them not so good. But why not for this? Tell someone about Jesus. Invite them to church. And many of you do, of course. That's one of the reasons why we so often have guests and visitors, and they become friends and eventually wish to join our congregation. Like the 8 people right now who are going through adult instruction. Now, I know that some people, it may not be you, but some people in our congregation and certainly around the nation are concerned about big tech and censorship and the freedom of speech. It's good and it's right to ask questions and to make arguments and to advocate for change where it's needed. I would point out, however, that those platforms only have authority because we've given it to them. But I think we've also made them more important than they need to be. Because I'll tell you one thing, there's no big tech or big brother listening in on the conversation that you have with your neighbor over the fence. So a Twitter account was closed or a Facebook page was taken down. What impact does that have on your life? They can't shut down the relationship that you have with your neighbor. That relationship across the fence, or the one with your walking partner, or the relationship you have with your client. And if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, as some fear, let's be honest, those are the relationships that will matter. We won't care about what so-and-so said on Facebook, or what Facebook did to so-and-so. The person next door will be far more important. It will be neighbors and friends and local communities banding together to help and care for one another, providing meals, financial support, and sharing skills. That's what's important. And let's not lose the sense of that. For Nathaniel, it all started with that friend. What about for you? Who was your Philip? It may have been your parents, having you baptized, bringing you to church, teaching you God's word. Maybe you came to know Christ while taking an art class, or through a sister-in-law, or only by knocking on a neighbor's door, or because someone helped you in a crisis. And sure, people can also find a church by searching online. In fact, it's even possible to listen to this sermon online. And certainly possible to find good teaching and study the Bible over the internet. But there's also a whole lot of false theology and bad teaching. Many will be led astray. And though there sometimes is nothing better for us, virtual church is certainly a poor substitute for the real thing, flesh and blood. But back to Jesus, that's where the text takes us, back to Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him whom Moses and in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." You can almost hear the excitement in Philip's voice. "At last, the Messiah, he's here. This is it." But Nathanael's not so sure. He has his questions. He's not easily convinced. His first response is a skeptical one. Something isn't adding up. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I wonder, was that an honest question or a dismissive one? Did he ask it with curiosity? Or did he ask the question laughing or maybe even mocking? Like me, you're probably ready to answer that question with a resounding yes. Yes, of course something good can come out of Nazareth. There's Jesus. But hold on. I don't know why Nathanael thought that about Nazareth. Maybe it had a bad reputation. Maybe it was a backwards, behind-the-times sort of place. Maybe it just lacked an Old Testament pedigree. But sit with Nathanael for a moment and chew on that question. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Where does good come from? And where does something as good as the Messiah come from? Would you expect to find that kind of good in Nazareth? In the place you come from? Or would you expect to find in a place like that the same things you find in yourself and in every place? Not what is good, but what is defiled. As Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So maybe Nathanael just knew what people are like everywhere. Maybe he knew what it is that comes out of people, including people in Nazareth, and he knows that it isn't good. You and I might be tempted to make an apology for Nazareth. We might be ready to say to Nathanael, "Come on, Nathanael, it's not that bad." Or maybe to make a list of the virtues and the things that Nazareth has going for it, like oyster crackers, or the mountain, or the old mill, or so forth and so on. At least there are those things in Nazareth, right, Nathanael? But Philip doesn't do that. Philip just says, "Come and see." It's a very simple thing. Come and see. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to have any of the answers. And you don't have to convince someone to believe. Just be the bridge to Jesus. Invite them to come and see. Be a Philip. And what will he see when he comes? What does Nathanael find in Jesus? He finds someone who knows him. He finds someone who knows him intimately, someone who knows even what he's thinking, someone who discerns his thoughts from afar. You might say that Nathanael finds in Jesus someone who reads him like an open book, knows him from cover to cover. This is what Jesus says when he sees Nathanael. "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Though he's descended from Jacob, deceitful and dishonest Jacob, Nathanael is an honest Israelite. He is sincere about Israel's hope and about Israel's salvation." And how does Jesus know him? "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And that's when it clicks for Nathanael. That's when faith takes hold. When Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And we're sort of just scratching our heads. Why is that so significant? What was Nathanael doing under the fig tree? And why does Jesus mention it? And why does that bring faith in Nathanael's heart? Under the fig tree is a place where people would take rest for prayer and for meditation on God's word and for study. Jesus had seen Nathanael searching the scriptures. He had seen Nathanael in the word. He had seen Nathanael hoping and praying for the fulfillment of God's promises. But seeing Nathanael under the fig tree was nothing. The Son of God had known Nathanael long before that. He formed his inward parts. He knit him together in his mother's womb. His eyes saw Nathanael's unformed substance and marked the number of days, his number of days, even before they began. And this is true not only of Nathanael, but of all human life from conception to natural death. We must never deny the humanity of anyone, not of the unborn or of the elderly or of any race or creed or socioeconomic status. And of all people in the world, we as Christians are those who get this. We know that all people, from the littlest to the oldest, and everyone in between, is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Every life is precious, whether the world wants it or not. And every life is one for whom Jesus gave his life. God made them. God loves them. And God wants them not only to live, but to live forever. And that's what he wanted for Nathanael as well, sitting under the fig tree, studying the scriptures, waiting for and hoping for the Messiah, but certainly not expecting the Messiah to come out of Nazareth. And just what had Nathanael been studying and thinking about under the fig tree? From what Jesus says next, it seems that he's been meditating on Jacob's dream from Genesis. You might remember the one in which Jacob falls asleep with a rock as his pillow, and then he sees a ladder extending from earth to heaven with angels going up and down on it. Jesus says to Nathanael that he will see greater things than this. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Philip was the bridge between Nathanael and Jesus, but Jesus himself is the bridge, the ladder, between earth and heaven. He connects what's below with what's above. He takes what's defiled and he makes it pure to enter God's presence. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, St. Paul says. He alone connects heaven and earth. As God, Jesus is from heaven, and as man, he is from earth, and he bridges the gap between them. He is the good that can and does come from Nazareth, because he is the good that can and does come from heaven. And Nathanael would see Jesus as the bridge between God and man, between heaven and earth. He would see Jesus crucified. hanging on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, paying for the sin of the world, paying for the defilement that comes out of man, paying for a world from which nothing good can come, and reconciling God to man. As Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree, so Nathanael from under the tree of the cross would see Jesus. And I wonder, as some of the disciples climbed the ladder to take down the body of Jesus from the cross, did Nathanael remember the first time he met Jesus? As the body was being laid in the grave, did he remember how Philip had said, "Come and see"? It's interesting to think that day when the body of Jesus was buried, the disciples thought that all was over. They thought that all was lost. They thought that hope was gone. But it would be on the third day that others would run to the disciples and say, "Come and see," and call them to the empty tomb. Jesus is risen. Nathanael didn't expect much good to come from Nazareth, from Jesus, but he found in Jesus a tree that brought salvation. He found a bridge from heaven to earth, a bridge that God crossed to bring him and you home. He found peace and reconciliation with God. This is where we find hope for our world, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this individual, personal relationship between our Lord and us, between our Lord who suffered and died and the sinner who needs that death. This is where we find the one who is truly our friend, who has laid down his life for us. While we were still sinners, he gave himself for you and for me. And here is the hope of the world. And so we are called through Christ friends of God. And we have this promise now that when we die, the angels of God will ascend and descend on Christ through the one who was crucified to carry our souls to heaven. And when our Lord returns and our bodies are raised on the last day, heaven and earth will be wonderfully and eternally united. The dwelling place of God will be with man. And we will sit under the fig tree and we will meditate on the scriptures, which are all about Christ. And we will see God, not virtually, not as in a dream, but face to face. God grant that that day come soon. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all Christians called into the fellowship and priesthood of Jesus Christ, by whose incarnation and work of salvation heaven is opened to sinners, that we may have boldness to cling to God, speaking of his deliverance freely in all the world, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for the church here and throughout the world, that God would send forth laborers into his harvest and sustain those whom he has sent. For our synod president, our district president, and our circuit visitor, and that God would make all Christians bold in confession and unwavering in prayer, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For courage to treasure God's gift of holy marriage, that those bought with a price and made temples of the Holy Spirit would be preserved in true chastity, the married in honorable faithfulness to one another, and the unmarried in honorable purity, glorifying God in their bodies, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation with its leaders, that the Almighty Lord, who does whatever seems good to him, and from whom every lawful authority on earth comes, would uphold us in righteousness and health. For our president and vice president, our president-elect and vice president-elect, our governor, and all public servants, including our armed forces, police, and first responders, and for peace in our time, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who stand in need of our prayers, especially Karen Hamill and Andrea Wetmore, who are homebound, Rich Verano, Carol Wade, Dan and Patty, Al and Bernie, Luca, Zaley, Diane Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Jared Blaze, Melanie Kramer, Pat Courtwright and his family, and all who have the coronavirus, including John Spengler, Debbie Page's friend, that God would bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty in every need. In thanksgiving for his merciful kindness, and that in every sorrow and every joy, God would not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of his kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who mourn, especially those who mourn the death of Patty Hurd, that they may find refuge and comfort in Christ in his death and resurrection, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the birth of Jeremiah Davis to Rachel and Daniel, for all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby, Laura, Nika, and Joelle, and for all abortion-vulnerable women and unborn babies in danger of abortion, and for the work of First Concern and CareNet, for their staff, their clients, and their board, that all people would treasure children as a precious gift of God and care for them as he wills, and that these children would enter his kingdom through holy baptism and live as his own dearly beloved children, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune this day, that the gift of the Holy Spirit would be renewed in us, working true contrition to lament and abandon our sins, and so come in confident faith to eat Christ's body and drink his blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.